Welcome to the Refuge and Happy New Year. How are you doing? You doing good? 2011. Well, this morning, and you know, I'll be doing this every year as long as the Lord gives us opportunity. Every year, what I'll do, starting off the year, is I'll give what the president normally gives, is that is the State of the Union Address. Just kind of give you a glance back at what has taken place in 2010, what's currently going on, and what we can look forward to in the future. And I think that's important for us to do, actually not just in January, but occasionally throughout the year, to keep us in line with the will of the Lord and what He has for the Refuge to do within the community and individual families and so on and so forth. And so that's what I'll be doing this morning. Now, here's a quick glance looking back at some of the things that have taken place in 2010. I jotted down a few notes. I did put an email out and I asked you not only to serve my purpose as far as knowing what God has done in your life and kind of a reminder of what He's done within the church, but also as a reminder to you to count your blessings. Very important to note, to do that, because we quickly forget what God has done in our lives. I mean, if the children of Israel, as they were wandering through the wilderness, led by a pillar of fire by night, and then during the day they had a covering over them, the presence of the Lord was there. If they could forget how the Lord delivered them out of Egypt, how easily can we also forget what He's done last month, a few months ago, and even throughout the whole year? So it's very important for us to do that. Now, I did get some return emails. I'll be expecting more from you as to what the Lord has done in 2010 for you. Here are some memorial stones. You know, it had been brought up, you know, we went through the book of Joshua, right? I don't know how many chapters it was, about 10 chapters or so. But we talked about the memorial stones. I believe it was about chapter 3 or 4 that they were set in the river and on dry land. And here are some memorial stones for us to kind of look back at 2010 and remember what's taken place. Missionaries. We adopted Ivan and Eunice out in Spain, and we are, as a congregation, supporting them financially. And so Ivan and Eunice, you see the scrolling announcements just before we get started in the morning, and their faces are always up there, and you see a little picture of Spain and the little place where they serve the Lord in, and that's who we've adopted in 2010. Also, we had a couple baptisms, which some of you were baptized, and that's all the glory to the Lord. This is an outward expression of what's taken place in your lives. And so there were the baptisms. We had decisions for Christ. We had some people raise their hands and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Maybe some recommitments. I know that individually, people have grown in their faith and in their just their faith and their walk with the Lord has been strengthened throughout the year. And I'm sure if I were to go around and ask people what the Lord has done in your life throughout 2010, that we would have story after story after story just right here in this room, and we could spend the rest of the day just glorifying the Lord for what He's done. We celebrated our one-year anniversary on the 15th of November. We had our hands and feet ministry. Our hands and feet ministry, I don't know, I'm not into counting how many people we served or anything like that, but I can tell you that not only did we serve them a meal physically, but we also fed them many meals spiritually, and we had opportunities to pray with them and share Jesus with them, not only here in this community center, but also as we went out and worked with City Missions and served people in their very homes. And I'll tell you what, it's very humbling when you come to a home and you hear from the other side of the door, "I am so glad you're here. I am starving." You know, it breaks my heart. But at the same time, I know that there's a world out there, and I've said it before, that is not only starving for food, but they're starving for the Lord Jesus Christ in the hope of eternal life. And so not only were we able to feed them physically, but also feed them spiritually and share the Lord with them. So we had our hands and feet ministry. We went through the book of Acts in our midweek service. We went through a peculiar people. You remember that? It was a character study of different people in the Bible and how it is that some of us can relate to those characters. And they were truly characters, right? And I see out here, there's a bunch of characters out here. We went through the value series, Ephesians. We also went through our authentic series. We went through the book of 1 John. And like I mentioned earlier, also the book of Joshua. What else did we go through? Women. You studied 12 extraordinary women. And you're currently going through the book of Mark. And you'll be starting up this coming Tuesday as well to continue the book of Mark. Men, we studied the life of David. Just a phenomenal study. And I know the women and the men, as you come together and you study Scripture, you help solidify each other's faith and encourage each other. And so that's what's been going on this year. And again, you know, those are just some of the notes that I put down. I'm sure if I ask you, what else? A couple more things that we did this year. Just shout it out. Not at once, but... See, that's why you need to think about it, and you need to really, and it is a wonderful exercise to do that. So I would encourage you to just kind of think back. Pray, ask the Lord to reveal those things that he's done for you throughout the year. A couple of new things that we have, and one is a lesson plan. So y'all got a lesson plan as you came through the door? What that'll do is it'll help you remember the important points within the message, and it also give you an opportunity to jot some notes on the back, and also you can put down people's phone numbers as you fellowship and get to know each other. That way, it's not only a fellowship here, it's also living lives together outside of church that's important for encouragement. Amen? So you'll have this from here on out. You can hold me to this. I will have for you a lesson plan as you walk through the door, so be looking for that. Also, there's these new Get Linked Up cards, and they were placed on every other chair. These Get Linked Up cards says, "Welcome to the Refuge Bible Fellowship," and it gives you a little intro as far as your contact information. It's there on the right-hand side. If you have not filled one of these cards out or the welcome cards, which these are the new welcome cards, make sure you fill it out and give it to one of the ushers or turn it into the information table outside. On the other side, there is a place for prayer requests and comments. The comments section is the last line right there, right by the refuge. That one right there is for comments. So I'm just kidding. But make sure you fill these out and turn them in, okay? Prayer requests, I love to get them. And join you in prayer. From time to time, we get these prayer requests that come in, and it's either in the form of email or text, and what I'll do is I'll turn around and email to everyone else. Please give me praise reports or give me an update on those prayer requests, because everybody wants to know. All right, so those are those cards. That's what's new in 2011 for us. So the State of the Union Address this morning, please open your Bibles to Psalm 127:1 is where we're going to start. Psalm 127:1. This for us is very important to understand as a church. Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Now, the church needs to be founded strictly on the Word of God. Nothing else, not anyone's opinion, but simply on the Word of God. And that is our foundation. What we do is we teach on Tuesdays. We have the women's and we have the men's. On Wednesdays, we have the youth and we have our midweek service. On Sunday, we teach simply from the Word of God. That is our foundation. And I can tell you that we can have all the programs and all the different thoughts of how it is that we are to do church, but unless the Lord and the foundation of it is the Word of God, none of that will come to fruition, at least nothing that will last. And so unless the Lord build a house, we labor in vain who build it. The second part of it, unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. We can sit here and protect our assets. You know, those things that the Lord has given to us to be good stewards for. We can devise different, we can ask for security to come in. We can ask for an alarm system to be put up. But all of that really is going to burn one day, right? Listen, what really needs to happen is that we need to be a people that are on our knees. We need to be asking the Lord to guard the city. Because if we're staying awake, if we're watching over what God has given to us, without communicating with the Lord who gives us wisdom, then, hey, we're staying awake. We're staying watch over something that we're trying to protect in our own power. And that is a futile attempt. We need to be a people who are on our knees and praying and asking the Lord for His divine protection, for His divine power as He fills us with His Holy Spirit. So we need to be a church founded on the Word of God, a church that is a house of prayer in God's wisdom and love, God's divine protection and power. And so we've come together this morning, the first Sunday of 2011, to the house of the Lord to bless and praise Him, to worship our King. That's what we are here to do. The psalmist wrote, and I love this as he speaks, is make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endures to all generations. Psalm 100. So we're done. We're good. Have a great day. You know, we call Jesus our Lord, and He is our God. And as a church, we embody His character, and we're used as individuals as well as collectively to for His glory. The Refuge Bible Fellowship was born out of a desire to accomplish great things for Jesus, His will, to be made a voice that brings the good news of Jesus Christ to a world that is in need of hope. And He alone, Jesus Christ, gives that hope. Jesus said, and I believe that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father except through Him. And so we need to proclaim that as a church. Not just here, not just learn it and internalize it here at church. Also go out to the highways and byways and proclaim that very truth and invite people to come in and sup with Him, to come in and fellowship with His people, and for them also to believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So this morning I want to accomplish several things. One is to remind you of our mission at the Refuge. Number two, to exhort you to ask God to show you what kind of steward you are with time, talent, treasure, and your testimony. And number three, to reestablish our need to pray as individuals, as a church, as a family, within our marriages, and for our nation. And I desire for you to be deliberate, intentional, and focused on Jesus Christ. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And so the first area that I want to look at, our mission at the Refuge, it is to revitalize, fortify, and release soul winners for Jesus Christ. That's it, period. That's very simple, right? To revitalize, fortify, and release soul winners for Jesus Christ. Keep that in your mind. It's all according to Scripture. The Great Commission, that is what we studied, we are to do in Ephesians chapter 4. You remember that? We went through how it is that it is Jesus who appointed some to be apostles, some preachers and teachers, evangelists, so on and so forth. We studied all of that, and so that's what we're here to do. Everything from Sunday services, midweek services, Bible studies, and other ministries are all there to fulfill this mission to God's glory. We are to impact every segment of society with biblical truth, and we can do this by being an army of believers who are empowered by and united in Jesus Christ. Our mission is to revitalize people with new life and vitality through a regenerating relationship in Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, to fortify you, disciples of Jesus Christ, by strengthening and reinforcing your knowledge of the Word of God according to 2 Timothy 2:15, and release you with great support to fulfill God's calling on your lives. And again, we went through that, Ephesians 4:11 and 12. Number one, to revitalize. We'll quickly go through our mission. To revitalize is to win souls for Christ, to lead people to Jesus, right? And it's not just my job. It's not just the jobs of the elders. It's actually something that we've all been commissioned to do and we've been empowered to do. If you don't know what to say, trust me, the Holy Spirit will give you words to speak. Now, listen, the Apostle Paul and Jesus himself did not use a cookie cutter method to bring people to the Lord, right? If you study Scripture, if you look through, we just went through the book of Acts. Did you notice that the Apostle Paul did not use a script to lead people to the Lord? He didn't do that. We know that Philip, as he was sent to go witness to the Ethiopian eunuch, he simply saw an opportunity as God presented it to him. And he said, hey, we'll start with Isaiah and we'll go from there. That's why it's so important for us to study. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, is what it says in 2 Timothy 2:15. That's why, because we need to bring glory to the Lord. And we need to revitalize. We need to lead people to the Lord and allow him to be their Savior. I see a bunch of new creatures out here. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and I want to see a lot more this year in 2011. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And for us, we need to remember that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, very important. We need to remember that we are new creations. Behold, all things have become new. We need to be like that child that looks at life just with things that we can discover, opportunities that we can take advantage of, and have the faith of a child that God can work some amazing things through you and I, despite the things that we think or do. He can work through it all and use these earthen vessels to his glory. Number two, to fortify each person with the word of God, allowing Jesus Christ to sanctify us by molding and shaping us into his image and character. At the Refuge, we do this by acting on God's word. You remember what I said a couple weeks ago about the acronym ACT? So everyone brought pens, right? I'm going to check pens. All right, pens. Oh, yeah, iPhones too, those work. But here's the thing to do is, as the Lord speaks to you this morning, as he speaks to you at Bible studies, one is we need to put an A next to those areas in which we need to apply to our lives, a C next to those things which we need to change, and then a T next to those scriptures or those notes which we need to teach to someone else. So ACT, so we act on God's word, but we fortify, we teach line by line, chapter by chapter, we go through the Bible to know God's word, who he is, and have a relationship with him. We were talking with our kids yesterday and talking about prayer. We need to pray more. You can't have, kids can't have a relationship with you nor you with them unless you communicate with them, right? You can't expect a relationship with your friend to grow unless you communicate with them. You know what's going on with them. Same with us. We can't expect our relationship to grow with the Lord unless we communicate with him and allow him to communicate with us. Sometimes we do all the talking and we don't allow him to talk to us. Or we just maybe go through his word and just like, okay, well, I did it. I did my CAD. And, you know, I'll just jot down a few notes. But we don't allow him to actually speak to us and pour into us, sanctify us, wash us with his word. And that's what we need to do. That's what we do, make every attempt at doing with the Bible studies and everything that we do, to fortify each and every one of you with the word of God so that you may grow in your knowledge of our King. Again, 2 Timothy 2:15, and I already quoted that. Number three is to release you as you are called by God to apply the gifts that he's given to you. Very important for us to do that. Let me reassure you that this is not a church where we will hoard you, okay? Where we will just bring you in and just tell you, okay, this is the only place where you can serve. No. God has called you individually to do special and specific things. And it may not be, listen, it may not be within the refuge, but you grow and you fellowship here and you do, and you're pouring into other people when you are here. But for instance, city missions, that's not a part necessarily directly that comes off of the refuge. City missions is its own ministry. And so for some people, you're called to help out city missions and to feed people that are in need out in the Inland Empire. Wonderful. We'll equip you here and we'll send you out and we'll support you greatly as you go out. It might be other ministries. Jericho, they don't just play here. They play at other churches. You know what? Lord bless you guys. Thank you for blessing us by leading us in worship. But I'll tell you what, I will never hinder the work that the Lord wants to do in you. I will support you greatly. And that's what we are to do. So we're a church that will release you to do whatever it is the Lord wants you to do. I'm just thankful that he's given me the privilege to pastor you, to be a shepherd and help equip you. Ephesians 4:11 and 16, we went through that, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. We've gone over this. So that's what we are. That's what we do. That's our mission. Secondly, I said that I was here also to exhort you, to ask God, for you to ask God, to show you what kind of steward you are with time, talent, treasure, and your testimony. Right now is the time to do that. Turn with me to Psalm 139. This is something that we should be praying daily. 139, verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Beautiful words. I'm sure beautiful for the Lord to hear those words. Because, I don't know about you, but every evening, no matter if I get on my knees in the morning or not, I am asking for forgiveness. Just we're people who are inclined to do things which are contrary to the perfect will of God. But there are things that need to be completely cleaned out of our lives. So I'm asking you to allow the Lord to search your heart and heed, when he gives you instruction, heed that instruction and receive that humbly as he shows you if there's any wicked way in you, and he will lead you in the way everlasting according to his word. So time, talent, and treasure. I'm going to share with you a story about a man named Jack Whitaker. Do any of you know who Jack Whitaker is? No? Okay, so you're not Powerball players, right? The lottery? He was actually the winner of the Powerball lottery some years back. In fact, he won the most that's ever been won, $315 million. He went home with $113 million after, you know, government took their cut, I guess. He kept about $113 million. He pledged 10% to churches in southern West Virginia. But then a short period later, he was robbed of $545,000. It was stolen out of his truck as it was parked outside of a strip club. His house has been broken into, and apparently he didn't learn from the first time that his money was stolen out of his truck. And he left another large sum in his truck. In fact, it was $200,000, and that was also stolen. He must be parked at the Residence Inn. He's been arrested for a DUI, misdemeanor assault. This is all in Wikipedia, by the way. You can look it up. I mean, the details are all there. Casinos in New Jersey have sued him. He lost his granddaughter to a drug overdose, as well as just shortly before that, his granddaughter's boyfriend, same drug overdose. Jack's been sued by many other people, and he claims that thieves took the rest of his money from National City Corp in Charleston. Now, how could he go through $113 million? Six zeros after the 113. Amazing, right? In 4 years. That's all it took. Just 4 years. Just 4 years. $113 million. Even if he had given $11.3 million to churches, he would have remained with over $100 million, which if he lived on $1 million a year would last him 100 years, right? How could someone do that? Now, here's the thing. While none of us will probably ever see this kind of money in our lifetime, God does expect us to be good stewards of what we do have. So there is a lesson to be learned there. That's why as we look at different stories, it's not just to like gain these facts and figures and oh, wow, poor so-and-so. No, if God has allowed you to hear about this, then he wants you to understand you probably won't get $113 million. But he has given you maybe $11.13 in your bank account, whatever it is, right? Or $113. We are to be good stewards of whatever we do have. That's what's important to the Lord. Now turn with me to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 1. He also said to his disciples, Jesus speaking, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account for your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking my stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I've resolved what to do, that when I'm put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Verse 7. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. Verse 8. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much.'" And we'll stop there. Now, this one may be a little bit difficult to explain. On the surface, it may seem that the Lord is saying that we should be dishonest to get ahead. But that can't be, right? So we need to dig a little deeper. A crooked, rich steward, a manager, was brought in by his boss and told that he was going to get fired. That he was found out and he was going to get fired. He decides that he's got to do something because he's not going to do any manual labor and he won't resort to begging. So he devises his plan. He appears to cheat his boss and make friends of his boss's debtors. So he calls the debtors in and he reduces their debt by 50 to 80%. Right, so he doesn't get the full amount, but he does get 50 to 80%. What happens is that the owner finds out, and then he gets an attaboy. He pats him on his back. He commends this steward and lets him stay on as manager. He actually compliments him for being crafty. So then the parable, Jesus says, to make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. You know, if we were to just stop right there, then we would take it all out of context. Okay, because that wouldn't be right. So we dig a little deeper. Here's some things to keep in mind. The crafty steward was thinking about his future. He got his owner 50 to 80% of what was owed to him, and had he not reduced that amount, perhaps the debtors wouldn't have been able to pay the total amount at all. And so at least he got them 50 to 80%. He had a plan. He stuck to it. His plan improved his present situation, and the owner made money. The steward proved that he was smart enough to be a manager, and he kept him on. So the question is, why did Jesus compliment this crafty guy? Well, the key is in verse 8. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. Here's a comparison between children of this world and the children of light. Listen to this. The children of this world, they think of their future. The children of the light, well, we tend to forget we have a future. The children of this world, they know how to do well for themselves. The children of the light, we have trouble balancing ourselves and others. The children of this world, they can improve their present situation. Children of the light, we tend to wait too long, hoping that Jesus will do it for us. Does that sound familiar? Sometimes we do. In fact, Jesus Christ, when he was sending his disciples out, what did he tell them? He didn't tell them, hey, let everyone take advantage of you. Just go out there and do whatever. He said, no, no, no. Be as shrewd as what? As a serpent, right? But be as harmless as a dove. The steward was being shrewd. So we need to learn how to use what God has given us to serve him and improve ourselves. Listen, to God's glory. That's the key. It's to God's glory. What has he given us? Time, talent, treasure, and testimony. And what we do with this will either praise him or bring shame to us and to his name. So what kind of steward are you? That's my question this morning to you. What kind of steward are you? And what are you doing with what God's entrusted to you? Time. Now, everyone has a specific period of time, right? In Ephesians 5:15 and 17, to see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. In your lesson plan, it says live life carefully, deliberately, and intentionally according to the Word of God. Live life carefully, deliberately, and intentionally according to the Word of God. So how do you spend your time? Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 17. God tells us how it is that we are to spend our time living carefully, deliberately, intentionally by what God tells us in his word, circumspectly and wise. We are to make the best use of our time. We are to redeem every moment that he's given to us, to squeeze out everything that we can to God's glory. Now, did you know that in God's hands, time is material? Not like we can grab a piece of clay and manipulate it. So he can stop time. He can make time continue. He's put us in the realm of time. That's where we exist. But he's not governed by time. He governs time. So we've been given this portion of time that we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. For the days are evil. Would you all agree with me that the days are evil? There's a lot of stuff going on that is just contrary to the Word of God. So therefore, we are not to be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. The will of the Lord, right here. Just plain and simple, the Word of God, that is the will of the Lord. To everything, there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, Ecclesiastes 3:1. So we're only given, again, so much time, and we don't own that time. We're supposed to be good stewards of that time. Okay. Romans 14:12 says that we're going to give an account of ourselves to God. My question to you is, how is the use of your time? How are you spending your time? Secondly, talent. Every single one of us is given some kind of skill, some kind of gift to use to God's glory. You can see Matthew 25:14 through 30 and 1 Corinthians 6:20. Now, in Matthew 25, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read verse by verse, line by line, but read Matthew 25. Jot that down, Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. It's a story of the talents. It's known as the parable of the talents. Now, God's entrusted you with different skills. You know, according to your own ability is what it says in the Word. What you do with those skills is of the utmost importance to our Lord, and he requires us to produce a profit by using what he's entrusted to us. Not squandering, not wasting it, not burying it and giving it back to him. No, we are to invest that in whatever way he leads us to invest those gifts. In your lesson plan, we are skilled by the Master to perform and produce for his pleasure and for his joy. We are skilled by the Master to perform and produce for His pleasure and for His joy. 1 Corinthians 6:20, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. My question to you, how are you using your gifts? We'll have a gift analysis available for you next Sunday. And I would encourage you, if you've never taken a gift analysis, do so. Take one, take it home, fill it out, and you'll see where your gift is if you don't know. And that's important for you as you seek the Lord and ask Him where it is that you fit in serving Him. Treasure. This is what you have, how you produce, and where you're storing it. You can make a note, Proverbs 3, 9 through 10, John 15, 1 through 8, and Matthew 6, 19 through 21. What you have. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. This isn't just your possessions, your financial, your monetary possessions. It's with everything. You know, how many of you have prayed for God to relieve you of a situation that you just, it's heavy and you have no peace? And when you gain that peace, when the Lord's brought your wife back to you, when the Lord's brought your husband back to you, when your kids are restored in your relationship with them, how many times do you stop praising God and giving Him those first fruits of praise to Him? You know, so often we do. You know, I'm thinking of just a few people in my life that just this last year, they were asking me, oh, please pray for me. You know, looks like I'm losing my wife. Hey, let's pray, you know. And every day they were seeking the Lord. They were seeking the Lord. And that's great. But what happened is when that wife, it seemed like the relationship was getting better, all of a sudden the phone call stopped. And they stopped giving the praise of the Lord. And they stopped giving Him even the first fruits of that relationship that was restored with his wife. You know, and so we need to honor the Lord with the first fruits of what we have. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning, according to James 1:17. So, but here's the thing, is our giving, as we receive those gifts from the Father, our Father of lights, our giving needs to be with a sincere and right heart. You remember the story of Barnabas and also of Ananias and Sapphira. You can look at Acts chapter 4. The end of Acts chapter 4, Barnabas sells his property and lays down the proceeds at the feet of the apostles. Immediately starting Acts chapter 5, you have Ananias and Sapphira who also sell, and they bring a portion to the apostles' feet, and they lay them before it. Here's the difference. Is Barnabas came with a sincere heart and gave joyfully to the Lord. Whereas Ananias and Sapphira, what they did was that they came and they kept some back, and that would have been no problem had they just been up front and said, no, that's just a portion. That's not everything that we had sold our possessions for. But it's just a portion. But no, they lie to the Holy Spirit, and they drop dead right before Peter. Now, we need to give joyfully to the Lord. We need to give joyfully. 2 Corinthians 9:17, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. John 15, 1 through 8, this teaches us how it is that we produce. We need to abide, the branch, us, abide in the vine, Jesus Christ. Apart from Him, we can't do anything. With Him, nothing is impossible. So that is how we produce. Anything that is worthwhile, check out John 15, 1 through 8. Anything that is worthwhile, that is praiseworthy to glorify the Lord, can only be produced abiding in Jesus Christ. And again, that goes back to having a relationship with him. And then Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21 tells us where it is that we are to store the real treasure. In heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys. My question to you is, what are your treasures? How are you producing treasure? And where are you storing it? Time, talent, treasure. Last one, testimony. God places these gifts. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I went over that a couple weeks ago. And I talked about how it is that God has placed God's gift in these earthen vessels. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now, what we need to get over is that we understand that it's not in our own power, that we are weak vessels. So we need to get through that and say, okay, I understand that. So all the glory and all the praises to God when he uses us to his glory. Lesson plan. Our testimony of God's grace, mercy, and love should be evident to all men, not only in deed, but also in word. Not only in word, but also in deed. Our testimony of God's grace, mercy, and love should be evident to all men, not only in deed, but also in word. Not only in word, but also in deed. You can see James 1:22. But we also need to speak of God's love for all people that's demonstrated through his son, Jesus Christ. Romans 10:14-15 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Now, Matthew 28 is a great commission. Go out, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. All right? So we need to not just, so often, we say, we just want to be an example of a good Christian to our coworkers and to those around us. Hey, listen, they're not going to hear the gospel by how you work. They will see a good demonstration of a person who is doing everything, whether you eat, drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's wonderful. That's part of your testimony. But you also need to open your mouth, right? How are they going to hear without a preacher? And each one of us has been ordained to preach the word of God, to proclaim the truth. And that's what we need to do. So do away with your fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Okay? So you are in God's perfect love in Jesus Christ. You are empowered by him. The word says that the Holy Spirit will give you words, not just in prayer, but also to speak to others. And so all we need to do is make ourselves available and be bold enough and confident enough in the Lord to open up our mouths, and he'll direct our conversation. Just look for opportunity. So my question to you is, how are you using your testimony? Are you telling others about Jesus Christ? So I ask you these questions about your time, talents, and treasures and testimonies because we have an opportunity to start fresh here in 2011. And just like it says in your lesson plan, if we fail to plan, we plan to fail. So this year we need to be deliberate, intentional, and focused about our faith. Amen? Are you okay? Are you with me? I know it's a lot, and I was telling Mario, man, the Lord just poured into me, just a lot to share with you this morning. But I pray it's all making sense. Because then, again, we need to go into this year not looking back as far as, boy, a lot happened last year. I can tell you a lot happened in our lives just in the last portion of it. That's fine. But that's not what, I'm not going to drag that around like it's some anchor or it's some, it's like, oh man, some of those things were just trash. Leave it where it belongs. Leave it in 2010. We need to just come to the Lord deliberately, intentionally, and with our complete focus simply on Jesus. We need to change some things. We need to plan for 2011 how it is that we're going to bring him glory. The number one signifies a starting point, right? Number one, point number one. We won't go back to point number one. But yesterday was 1-1-1-1. Pretty cool. First day of January 2011, our starting point for the new year. God's mercies are new every morning. Lamentations 3:23. We need to ask for forgiveness for falling short in some area and trust God that he will empower and equip us to glorify him in these different areas as a person, as a family, as a church, and as a nation. But, and this is the last thing I'm going to go over, we must be a house of prayer, and this will lead into our time of communion. We must be a house of prayer. Jesus said in Matthew 21:13, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. That's one of the things that are most neglected within the life of a Christian, prayer. That's our offensive. That's where things happen. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God wouldn't tell us that unless he wants us to do that. He wants to hear from us, and he wants to move according to his will and according to those prayers that are in line with his will. So we need to be a house of prayer. In your lesson plan, may the refuge be a place where prayer is a priority and privilege that is practiced. May the refuge be a place where prayer is a priority and a privilege that is practiced. We can't have the peace of God without coming to him in all dependence, asking him to help us in time of need and by faith knowing that he will answer our prayers. Again, look at James chapter 1. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. So you don't have to understand, you don't have to figure it out, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. We can't accomplish our Lord's mission, nor use our time, talents, treasure, or testimony without communicating with him first. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So we need to be a house of prayer. This week, and I'm just telling you this, not to make it known for any other reason, but just as me leading you. This week, starting tomorrow and through the week, I'll be fasting personally. And I did this last year and I'll do it again. And the Lord knows my heart as far as that's concerned. I'll be praying for the church, for my family. I'll be praying for lost souls, friends, family. I'll be praying for you. I'll be praying for the future of this church. And there's a lot to pray for and about. So I want to start this year off again, just as last year, right. You know, there may be a lot of ups and downs throughout the year, but let's be a body. Let's be a church that comes together. And I'm not telling you to fast this week, although that's what the Lord places on your heart. You may be called to fast. I have been. But I will ask you to get on your knees more and pray. This Friday, too, we'll be having a night of prayer. We'll be doing this regularly. We'll also have a night of prayer at the end of this month. And that's open to everybody. This Friday, we'll be having it in room 214 at 1040 Harriman, which is at the Residence Inn. That's where we're staying right now. Y'all know our story. And so we'll be there. But we can pack the room out. Whoever would like to come out and join us, it's from 7 to 8 this coming Friday. And if we don't fit in there, we can always go down to the lobby or we can go somewhere else and we can pray and seek the Lord. So we'll be doing that for 1 hour on Friday. That's the way we need to start our year. So this year, 2011, we need to be deliberate, intentional, and focused on Jesus Christ. And we do that by being a people that pray without ceasing. I'm calling on each one of you to commit to a deliberate and intentional practice of your faith, which is focused on the kingdom of God, in using your time, talents, treasures, and testimonies, and covering it all in prayer to God's glory. My question to you this morning, and I'm asking for a response, who is willing to commit to that? Who's going to stand up if you're willing to commit to that? Amen. This is before the Lord. We stand. Father, I thank you for, Lord, I thank you for giving me the opportunity today, Lord, to bless you and glorify you. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that have newly committed to you, Lord, to be diligent, intentional, and focused on those things that bring you glory. Right now, as we go into our time of remembering what you've done for us, the love that you show to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, as he took the punishment upon himself that we deserved ourselves. Lord, I ask that you forgive us of the sins that we have committed. Cleanse us of all unrighteousness before you, a holy God. Fill us with your Spirit and lead us in the way everlasting. And Lord Jesus, thank you for going to the cross. Lord, because right now we would be committing or recommitting to something in vain if you hadn't done that. And so, Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we lift our hearts and our very lives to you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.